There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, and getting a fresh week started. Glad to have y'all here. Easy to get in touch with us, 251-343-0106. Works for a call or a text, 251-343-0106. Also, that talkback message feature with the FM Talk 106.5 app. You see that microphone icon on the front page of the app. You just press that. Lets you record a message, and it emails it to the show, and we can play it back here on the air. So lots to do today. And we'll get started with our leadoff every week, our leadoff batter, star of print and screen, and a whole lot more. Read his work at alabamadailynews.com and see him when you look at TV here during this spicy week of session coming up on Capital Journal. The crowd goes wild for Todd Stacey. Hey, man.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good, good. So you ready? You spring break rested up, and now it's time to get back at it?
I mean, yeah, as rested as we can be. I mean, we still had... to report the news, but we did have to do the nightly Capital Journal episode. That's really the biggest difference. If the legislature's not in, we're not going to do the 10:30 p.m. nightly show. So hey, that's like a vacation for me. I might as well be on the Gulf Shores.
All right, so I want to talk about this as we get rolling. Now we'll get to some of the spicy items here, but I don't know if this is. To me, it's spicy. You had in the email today, the general fund budget is moving. Well, thank God here. With 6 days left to go or 5 days, thank God it's moving. So tell me about this.
That's right. So the budgets have now swapped chambers, right? They, mm-hmm. the House passed the Education Trust Fund. The Senate passed the general fund. So now they go to the next chamber. And so this week, the House will be taking up the general fund budget and the Senate... the education budget. And so that'll all start tomorrow when those bills are up in committee. I expect them to be on the floor either Wednesday or Thursday. I mean, this is going to be a 3-day week. They're going to be in session a lot this week. And so I expect the budgets to be sent to the governor this week.
Yeah, I'm looking at this just number wise here, because we and I have talked about, hey, that the interest on the money and the COVID money that's running out. The receipts are going to be lower going forward. They're preparing for this, but y'all right here, the $3.72 billion spending bill is about $37.1 million more than what Governor Ivey sent to lawmakers 2 months ago.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't seem as worried as I thought they were before.
Well, it's not to say the budgets are going down or anything like that. It's not to say that we're seeing some kind of decrease in revenue. It's really just more of a slowdown in growth. Now, to some people, a slowdown in growth is akin to a cut because, with inflation and things like that and just raise costs, more things cost more money. And so if you just stay flat, that can feel like a cut to a lot of agencies. But yeah, it's just that with the federal money drying up, what that essentially means is we were storing a lot of that. We were banking a lot of that in some of these trust funds. And those trust funds, because they were filled to the gills, we're talking about billions of dollars, they were getting interest on that. And so, the state that goes directly to the general fund. General Fund was getting $200 million a year from unexpected revenue just off that interest.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what's going away. And so You're not going to see that. Then we'll still have some interest. I mean, but more in the normal, you know, $40 million range on a good year, 50, something like that. But the general fund, look, the general fund is healthy, but it is really propped up these days by SSUT, by online sales tax. And of course, that issue is not expected to be resolved this session. They had a bill that they kind of treated as a part-time kind of Band-Aid for the future, but that's no longer on the table. So if that ever goes away, then we got problems in the general fund.
Yeah, well, it seems like, you know, over the years we've been bailed out by just, you know, finding that extra $100 bill in the jacket pocket. You know what I'm saying? Like, even though they did, I think they did a smart thing here and used it to get interest while they could until they had to spend it. I think that's smart. I mean, fiscally as a federal deal, I think it's bad, but for Alabama to do what we did was smart. But I do worry, it's like, it's always this, well, we can do things only when we have a oil spill or, you know, some kind of, you know, pandemic or something like that. That's when we find the money.
You're right about that, but I would say, you know, the big problem is some of the more recent expenses. You know, we're this prison project, it's hugely expensive, and we've borrowed to pay for a lot of it, but a lot of it was straight money, and that's coming out of every year's budget. Now, is that a bad thing? No, I think they had to do it. I really think they had to do it, and you know, but that's all general fund. It's not like that's coming from ETFs. And so, mm-hmm. Obviously the most of the state's money is in that education trust fund where, you know, everybody pretty much agrees it should be. But when it comes time to do something big, like build two new state prisons, it comes at, you know, things can really get tight. You can also say that about the state house. I mean, again, this now, luckily the state house, the legislature has agreed to share that between the two funds. And so each fund will, you know, have about $10, $20 million a year, which isn't that big a deal. But it had to be done. I mean, it really did. The building is just falling apart. And you can't, I mean, we had a group there the other day that the disability advocates, right? They're advocating for disability awareness. Couldn't find ways to get in and out of the building because it's just not ADA compliant. I mean, it's just that kind of crap.
Yeah.
Those things add up. Those big projects add up, and it's, you know, you got to pay for them over time.
Okay. Speaking of one of the big projects here, and I was going to talk about the spicy stuff. Maybe we'll have time. Maybe we won't. But the prison question, and it's now, you know, obviously discussed with the Alabama Solution documentary. I heard over the weekend, I was listening to Rogan, had the guy that did the film on, listening to him as well. You know, this is stuff you and I talked about. They allocated the money for two prison builds, and they've eaten up more than the two prison build budget for just one prison, having to get the more money. They talked about, you mentioned in that interview, they talked about the inflation. I remember being on here going, yeah, inflation is out there, but it's not at this level. Can you point us in a direction to look here? What got so screwed up here? How did that happen? How did we more than double the cost of this, even with inflation? How did we more than double the cost of building two prisons?
Well, that's part of it. Had we pulled the trigger even 5 years earlier, I think we would have been in a lot different situation. But when we did, the entire country was out there spending ARPA money. Right. So the cost of materials just came at a premium. You're looking for, everybody's looking for the same materials, with whether it's transportation or water infrastructure. Everybody's doing the same things. And so the price of materials just goes up. And yes, we did have.
But not 200 and something percent.
I think, well, that's what they're telling us, is a lot of this is cost of materials. The biggest change in price came in the scope of the project, because originally that first prison wasn't going to have the same scope of project that it was, meaning they have an educational component, they have a hospital component, they have a mental health component. Now, all of that was not in the original price tag, and so when they kept changing the project to add things to Elmore County, that kept moving the price. So that plus all these costs measures, that's what they say, raise the price. But yeah, I mean, look, the legislature could always step in and say, we're not going to fund this. But that's not, they've at least gotten the answers that they are comfortable with.
you wonder if, you know, we've watched this, the sword of Damocles hanging over Alabama for a long time. You and I have been talking about it since probably we've been talking on the air about receivership, right? I mean, it happened to Alabama in the past. You know, DOJ said in the future, but now we moved here. But, I mean, with new light in and this documentary and what Ledbetter moving on that bill and all that, it tells me maybe they're worried about part two here from the DOJ.
Well, that's always going to be hanging over, not just the DOJ. You've got that lawsuit investigation, and DOJ could make a decision any time, I suppose. There's also the courts, right? The federal courts, that's, you know, we're under a court mandate right now, clearly not living up to it. Right. I would say it's pretty much impossible to live up to it. And it, I think what the judges really wanted to see is progress. I think the state has demonstrated some progress, but it's not... It's nowhere close to what the court wants. But these, you know, these prisons, this one that opens in Elmore County is supposed to help a lot with the violence and all that. At least that's what they say. And honestly, you know, they better hope so, because when you watch that movie, I know it's dramatized, but it's hard to deny what's really going on. And it's hard to deny just the basic reality that brought out, and it's impacted policy. I mean, you've seen legislation be introduced not by left-wing Democrats but by conservative Republicans trying to get answers and trying to get justice inside our prisons. There, it's clearly just kind of out of control. I don't know the best way to deal with that. I think opening safer, more modern facilities is a big part of that. Obviously, that costs money, and people are going to have concerns about that. But you know what, a lot of what the left wants in this whole, you know, discussion is essentially closed prisons and releasing a lot of people that are currently locked up. And that's what conservatives want to avoid, because over the prison reforms of the mid of the 2010s, 2015, 2016 range, you know, most of our prison population is there for violent offenses. It's not like, you know, it was back in the old days when you got locked up for weed and stuff like that. Most of the prison population is there as a result of a violent crime. And
that's what we keep being told. But I mean, then I hear stories like, and it may be anecdotal, but I hear stories where, you know, that they were not the person that, you know, the one story they were featuring from the documentary, that they were out in a car, didn't have anything to do with the murder, and the guy goes in on a drug. He was a drug addict, right? He didn't pull the trigger, didn't do anything like that. But I guess the law says he's got to go away for murder.
Well, I guess the technicality there is he's associated with a violent crime. And I didn't say 100%. I said most.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm just saying that you're going to be hard-pressed to find a Republican, and plenty of Democrats as well, that want some kind of mass release, because that's...
Agreed. I don't think people want that. But at the same time, I think you can say, hey, I don't want mass release of violent people out on the Alabama streets. At the same time, we've got to have something that doesn't, you know, that we've got to build the prisons we said we're going to build, get those things done, and do things in a, at least, you know, a way that doesn't bring the ire of the federal government.
Absolutely. Well, I encourage you, at your earliest convenience, maybe at his earliest convenience, have State Senator Greg Allbritton on. He can answer way more questions about this than I can, because he, after all, is involved in building the prisons. I'm just involved in reporting on it.
10-4. Speaking of reporting, so we've got a couple minutes left here. The spiciness of tomorrow, you wrote about. What's coming up? What's so spicy?
Well, that just means controversial. That means contested. You know, the Senate this year has pretty much coasted along, except for one day, really, where they've gotten along, no hugely controversial bills. But that all stopped two Thursdays ago, or I guess last Thursday, with, you know, the majority came with a calendar that had bills the Democrats didn't like, namely Gulf of America and Ten Commandments. We talked about this last week.
Yep.
And Democrats objected. We're going to engage in a hours-long filibuster. It would have lasted much longer than that, partially because the Republicans did not have the votes to cut it off. I'm not sure who was out of the chamber, but it was pretty clear that they didn't have the numbers. On a normal day, they would. And so it looks like they're coming back tomorrow with plans to do just that. I expect both those bills to be back on a calendar but not just there. I mean, we quoted State Senator Chris Elliott saying, look, if you got to cloture them twice, you might as well just get ready and bear down and cloture them all day long. So I look for tomorrow to be not just those two bills, but other, you know, more Republican heavy bills than they've done session so far.
All right. Tell folks about the email I keep referencing, how to get signed up for that.
Absolutely. Just go to aldailynews.com. That's the homepage. You can sign up right there on the homepage. Just enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list.
Good stuff, Todd. And reminder, too, back to the normal grind here for Capital Journal.
Yeah, nightly programming. We're back tonight for Capital Journal. Going to be previewing, kind of just like we were, the what to expect in the House, what to expect in the Senate. Yeah, we're back to nightly programming. That's 10:30 after your local news on Alabama Public Television.
Good stuff, Todd. I appreciate it, man. We'll talk next week.
All right, Sean. Be good.
All right. There goes Todd Stacey. We're coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:25, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Monday. Glad you're here. This segment of the show brought to you by my buddy Clint Jameson at Adventure Earth Bicycles. Talk about the great selection of e-bikes there, the non-electric bikes, all the equipment that goes on them. They've got it in stock. But I point out, too, a local bike shop, guy I've known for 2.5 decades, and a crew there that does this professionally. This is what they do. The reason I'm pointing that out is another one of those horror stories that came his way. He sent me this on Friday. He said, hey, Sean, just had a young lady in the shop who purchased an e-bike online and her charger didn't function. Her new bike and new charger, purchased it online, so it's not a brand we sell or anyone local. So she has a new non-functioning e-bike. And he sent me these things in the past. People walk in there. They're like, oh, my gosh, I got this bike. It doesn't work. Well, then, or they don't have all the parts that come in the box here. You can avoid that. I mean, he said now she has to wait for the online company to ship her a new charger and hope that that's the only issue. He said, yeah, shop local and your warranties and issues are handled locally. In addition, we keep boxes of spare parts from all our manufacturers in stock. But when you get a bike like I did from Adventure Earth Bicycles, an e-bike, it's not only you know everything's working because it's been put together and tuned. And everything's ready to go. When you don't have to take home a project, you take home your new e-bike and enjoy it out there. See the selection and check out what a good old-fashioned bike shop, you'll remember them from back in the 80s, good old-fashioned bike shop looks like at the corner of Airport and Little Flower in Midtown, online at adventure-earth.com. Adventure Earth Bicycles, everything inside to get you outside. Go see them. All right, to the text line here. Let me get a few of these. And let's go to Jerry in Fort Morgan. Over the years, not a big Todd Stacey fan. He says, is the worthless little hay boy for the idiot governor actually defending the corruption involved in the prison construction? Do I have a sheet here that shows me the numbers? I would put the onus on those that had the cost go up so much to tell me how it's all inflation. Remember when this hit, the prison bill thing, and I'm just a regular person, just like y'all. I said, okay, there's inflation. Inflation was going on. And we looked at the percentage of inflation out there. But it wasn't 200%. Actually, what did we figure it? Like 280%? Like, I'm aware of the world. So if this bill would have been like, okay, well, there's inflation. Okay, is it 20% more than y'all budgeted for, something like that? What they had budgeted and told us was the right amount of money to build two new prisons, which, by the way, doesn't give us more beds, but it gives us more mental health issues and people not being housed in big, like, open spaces and all that. I mean, there's some definite improvements. But what they had budgeted to build two wasn't enough to build one. I'm no math magician here, but somebody got some explaining to do, and I'm interested in it. I'd like to hear the real answers on that. Let's see. Billy D. Said, sick of, dude, something doesn't smell right. You know, money is being handed over under the table. You know that. Goes on, again, you look in there for weed, even if it's like distribution. I say they need to be let go and keep the guy who's got a gun and a knife in there. You know, and if you, we've had these discussions before. It's interesting, this Alabama Solution documentary brings up the contraband cell phones and communications in. We did that live as it was going on the radio. J.B. Buno, who used to work at Channel 5, buddy of mine, is now down in Tampa. He and I did that like a series on this show when that was going on. I mean, this has been a long time ago. We were keenly aware of that going on in there and how much, I mean, if stuff's getting into the prison, it's not all being thrown over the fence. Right? So the drugs, you're talking about the weed, but I mean, they say the drug level, and you just heard Mr. Bishop, who's running for Lieutenant Governor, talking about that, the amount of drugs inside the prisons and those levels being greater than what's outside the fence. Billy D said, I know there's a lot of unanswered questions absolutely need to be addressed. You nailed it on the head when it comes to that, you know, where all the money is actually going. I'd like to see an accounting. Yeah, well, me too. I think it's a fair thing to ask for. And we've been talking about it a long time, but now when the money starts dwindling away, because they did a smart thing. They took COVID money and put it back and got interest. I like that play. I wish we wouldn't have been giving money out everywhere, but we did. But what happens now? And with even more eyes on the bad conditions in Alabama's prisons. Remember, it's Trump DOJ that has prosecuted this. It's not a political thing. It's a law thing.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Easy to get in touch with us, 251-343-0106. Call or a text. Now we'll do this. I've made a call to my friend Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Y'all listen to this, what I'm about to do. Hey, Anna, what time is it?
Ha, ha, ha. It's time to get a watch.
See, very good. So y'all got some watches to talk about here. New shipment in.
Yeah, the watches we had from the Paris maker, it's I pronounce it Charles Huber just because we're in America, but it's probably more like Charles Hubert, you know, in French, but don't quote me on that. But they're nice watches. Most of them are under $200. You can't beat that with the stick. Nancy's already gotten like 3 or 4 just for herself because she wants to have one with every different outfit and different colors. There's a whole catalog available to look through if you wanted to order something. They don't take long to get in, like 3 to 5 business days or less.
So, I mean, these are, yeah, you and I were talking about this when you know, first got the shipment and said, Sean, these are the thing. These are very, very popular. Then I've heard more since then. I guess I was not paying attention to the watch universe. These are things people are looking for.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, for a budget, this is from far away, it looks just like a Rolex. It looks like a nice, classy watch, a dressy watch. It's not anything. You can wear it every day. There's some designs you can order that you can wear every day, but this is a really nice looking watch for the price.
All right. And while they're there, checking out what time it is, also precious metals, what's happening with that right now?
They've been steadily climbing back up. Silver, I think, is recovering a little bit, like $71 and some change. Gold is still over $4,500. So it's still a good time to buy in case they make a jump for it, because we've had several people in here this morning already buying gold and silver just because it's on the downside.
Well, tell them how to find you.
We're at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. You can find us on Facebook, or you can call us here in the shop and talk to me personally. Phone number is 251-725-1590.
All right, good stuff, and we'll come see
Thanks
you soon.
Much.
All right, bye. There goes Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Let's see the a few more of these. Jerry says, hell, pay the prison guards like the cocktail waitresses at the gambling establishments and let them keep their tips. They couldn't do any worse than how the state is doing. So it's And by the way, CB Carl chiming in here. Jerry said, Sean, I'm a big fan of Jerry from Fort Morgan. He lives so close, it'd be fun to have a beer with him. Except miles don't mean nothing down here. Nowadays, it's all about the traffic. That's a whole other subject. But spring break, y'all making that money. Speaking of spring break, so listen to this story. Dana Dalton had talked about it, and it's been reported quite a few places here. I guess it came out late last week. So it did, because I remember talking about it on Friday, not on the air. But so I'm a person that has spring braked before, right? And a person that, back in the day, we like to party. A big party, spring break. Where are the girls? Where, you know? All right, so I come at this as a person that has been, you know, I'm not like, well, I've never did that kind of stuff. I did do that kind of stuff. But I saw this headline. I said, you know, truly, what the hell is wrong with the kids? Not that there was underage drinking. Didn't surprise me. The numbers surprised me. But the headline, this one from MyNBC 15, the headline came out on Friday. Beer dumped on officer. At that point, you lost me, kids. Beer dumped on officer, 113 arrested during underage drinking party in Gulf Shores. Now, this is the part, like, I'm not going to clutch my pearls and go, oh, there were teens down there for spring break. Yeah, but, and teens, you know, everybody thought that meant, like, looking at some of the pictures and video, I don't think it's high school kids in this. I think it's college kids. I mean, this is, I went to college very young. It wasn't until I think I was a senior. I think a senior by the time I was, no, maybe not even 18, 19, 20. Yeah, maybe when I was a senior, my senior year, I was turned 21. So, but these are look like a lot of college age kids, but they're teenagers. But what do you, it said, okay, so here's the story. It said, apparently quite a few teenagers in town for spring break felt like drinking was a key to a successful holiday, landing 113 of them behind bars at the Gulf Shores Police Department, which is a, how do you haul them? I heard the guy talking about this. I don't know how you haul them. It's the paddy wagon. You'd have to have a series of coaches show up to get them, I guess. It's school buses, maybe. But here you go. So it goes on, the story says, police say most of those roaming in the parking lot Friday evening were either just getting out of jail or being picked up by friends and family. That's always fun, isn't it? Gulf Shores Police Department Detective Whitstruck said, we pride ourselves on our messaging, so we put out the messaging early in spring break. The alcohol ban is in effect. That has been, what, last 10 years or so? They have absolutely been very public about that. The detective goes on to say, we have zero tolerance for underage possession of alcohol. But, you know, obviously some of these people didn't hear that or didn't go with it. But that's not the part that got my attention on that story. It said Thursday night on a stretch of West Beach Boulevard in a house police say was leased by an 18-year-old, alcohol was flowing freely, a party that went out of bounds. Okay, so, I mean, this is still a normal, I guess the number of them, you know, it was something. That sounds like the party, right? You're going to have the party, and then people who are coming to the party tell 10 other people, tell a ton of that kind of party, right? It's one of those that, like, grew from, hey, we're going to have 15 people here, the next thing it's 113. It's a lot of underage drinking there, some volume going on there. But still, I'm not even stuck on that. It's the next part. It says here in the story from MyNBC 15, and when police showed up, someone got the bright idea. And here's the quote. This comes from the detective. Said, to dump a large quantity of beer from the balcony onto our officers. So, Utes out there, first of all, don't be doing any of this stuff. But if you want to make sure nobody's going to be given a chance to pour out their beer or do something like that, you poured the beer from the balcony onto the officers. Woodstruck goes on and says, the investigation continued. You damn right it did. And as a result of that, it was determined, I added the cursing, it was determined that there were approximately 113 people inside the house. Of them, 109 were arrested for underage possession of alcohol. Four of them were released with no charges, and one person was also charged with complicity. End quote. So 24 hours earlier, a similar scene played out a few blocks to the east on the same street where 31 teens, which is child's play now, right? Or teen play, were arrested for underage possession of alcohol. Yeah, that's what the other group said. Y'all got 31 in that party? Hey, y'all, hold my beer. The detective went on to say they had been warned a few days earlier. Okay, so they have a warning, and then somebody dumps beer from a balcony on the officer. I hope you get arrested several times for being a moron. The detective says, we don't want to arrest a bunch of juveniles and underage persons. We want them to follow the rules and enjoy themselves while they're here at the beach, make good memories so later in life they can come back down and visit us again with their families. Your biggest fear is my biggest fear. A tragedy will occur. Certainly people will say, oh, they're having a good time. End quote. So it says here, Detective Whitstruck says he knows older teens have different priorities when it comes to having a good time. The problem is, unfortunately, sometimes the odds aren't in their favor and tragedy occurs. We would much rather do 1,000 enforcements than one doorstep notification at 2 a.m. Absolutely. Good for you. Police Department, support this completely. At the same time, get this message. Who is the moron? Yeah, I mean, were any of y'all like youths, right? Y'all were youths. And the police were coming up. There's a party, and here, police department's outside. I mean, I don't know if it translates into today's, does be cool mean anything? I'll tell you what, dumping beer onto a police officer from the balcony, not being cool. I mean, it's like, you had choices here. Then you chose, hey, let me pour the beer on the, there's 100, what did they say, 103 in here, underage drinking. And what we'll do here, you're talking about an accelerant. Let's pour the beer on the officer. Let's see how that works. Grab a couple texts here. Marvin the Flathead says, Sean, what you bet that was an LSU student that poured the beer on the cop. Maybe. Let's see. B-Dark says the problem with the kids in Gulf Shores, the thing is mama and daddy wants to be best friend, not a parent. Where are they from? I don't know. They didn't give us where they're all from. But B-Dark, I'll say this. My mom and dad didn't want to be best friends with me, and we still would have attempted later teens, college spring break. I wish I could sit here and act like I'm just better than, you know, holier than thou and stuff. I can't. I can't just BS like that. Came down from the University of Alabama to spring break. We were trying to find some beer, right? And mommy and dad didn't know we'd be the best friend. Actually, they were the judge and executioner when I screwed up. Steve said, why didn't the kids run? I don't know. That was the other thing. Remember back in the day, people would just run 15 different directions. Yeah, so this texture is like maybe following where I am. So back in the day, officers would either let us pour it out or they would take it for themselves, but we were always respectful. If we got busted, they'd let us go. And I don't know if the rules are the same now, but texture, are you with me? If you there was some party going on and doofus over there said, oh, here come the police officers up to check, and somebody pours a beer on them. All right. Coming right back. More Midday Mobile. I mean, just honest, what has happened to the damn kids today?
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
It's 12:51, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Yeah, do that. Listen tonight to Tonight Mobile with Mr. Mobile. His Christian name is John Carlos Young. Just proud. My buddy a friend of mine, and you know, a lot of people talk about getting into radio and doing all that, and he decided to do it, and he's a natural, guy's a star, great, so check him out tonight. Don't tell him I say anything nice. I don't want to get him too inflated on that head. All right, but yeah, check it out tonight. He's a great human being and a damn fine broadcaster. All right, to the text line here, this, okay, an update from CB Carl. When I first heard the story about the kids and the party arrest, first thing I said was these punks need to know that Animal House was a movie and the actors had real jobs. Next, I said, at least there were no guns reported. That is true. Let's see. Dakota said, you got to have a distraction. Now he smells like beer, too, I guess, meaning the officer. Also, 100 kids running in all different directions. It probably was pure chaos. I don't know that they ran, Dakota. That was the old thing, people bailing out. And the texter from earlier got that right. He said, back in the day, officers would either let us pour it out or they would take it for themselves, but we were always respectful if we got busted. And then I said, what would you do to the guy that poured the beer out on the officers? He said he'd get his butt whipped in front of the police. Whoever you are, I'm on the same page. Like, what idiot? Texter says, throwing a beer on a policeman was stupid. If they had tossed a couple hundred dozen Krispy Kremes in the front yard, I would be laughing. See, from Bob said, Sean, my dad said, I'm not going to endorse or condone what happens at spring break because we know what's going to happen. However, don't waste your quarter on calling me if you get in trouble because I'm not coming to get you. Take it for what it's worth. I said, yes, sir. Bob, I had civil. I knew there was no hope for getting bailed out by mom and dad, so. Yeah, I don't know. Somebody said, what idiot rented the house to the 18-year-old? I don't know. What idiot, you know, now we have to worry about what's her name over the Airbnb lady over in Pensacola. I mean, it seems like a great thing. You get a vacation property and you can get cash coming in the rest of the time, right? It's a good thing. Like, I talked to somebody who said they have a rental property at the Gulf and they block out from, I guess they're on one of the, I don't know which one they're on. Airbnb or Vrbo or whatever they're on, but they block out spring break all the week, like the months of spring. They choose not to get the revenue during spring break because of this. They said, we just don't rent it during that period. Let's see. Be dark. I wouldn't have wasted my beer. I would have slapped it, not poured it out on police. Jerry, the difference between when you were on spring break and now is the policeman would have kicked your ass and your daddy would have beat your ass when he found out. Yeah, these are true. When he found out about you doing something that stupid, you should be thankful that your daddy wasn't a lawyer. Now, I had one practice law, but the man who raised me did not. He's a businessman. And yes, and born a sharecropper and a man that would have seen how far the shoe could be lodged inside the facts. I think the value to these discussions is, I mean, it's a story gets a bunch of attention. I get it. And the newscasters, anchors are never going to be able to expound on things. I'm on this medium part where I go, what they're doing is not okay, but I get spring breakers are going to try to drink beer. I just don't think it's a good thing. Tragic things can happen. I'm with you, but it's not that part that shocked me. You know, I mean, the numbers, it's pretty significant. When you have to get a whole line of coaches to come take everybody to get checked into jail. And I don't know how they put them in the jail or where they just let them out. But who's the idiot? Like, be cool. It's funny. Dakota came back and said, they would always take our tap. That's the way to shut you down, isn't it? That is what good policing. Say, all right, you keep the keg here, but the tap is going with us. He said, trying to use a nail to push the ball down was not a good idea. No, it's not. Billy D. says, is that the same house with the Airbnb girl? No, it's not the same one. That would be a bad week. No, that one's in Pensacola, but there it is. You know, the story is, I mean, it's just like we said last week, the cable news will run these stories. Spring breakers going wild. Well, spring breakers have been going wild since there's been spring breakers, right? So it's just some of the new changes. I don't know. All right. To a story before we finish up here this hour, coming back in the next hour, CEO, president of the Mobile Chamber, former Congressman Bradley Byrne joins us here. So we have a lot to talk about in the next hour with him. The a couple of things that stood out to me with what's going on with Iran. Right now there's a press briefing going on, and they're taking questions about boots on the ground. And Caroline Leavitt, you know, is saying, no, that's not, you know, it's a possibility, but that's not what they're doing. But it seems like, and I've been, you know, this has worried me the whole time. It's been my worry the whole time. That when you put the assets there, and to have some assets to flex and threaten, I'm for it. I get it. It is worrisome that we have more people that, warriors that do their job on the ground in theater right now. And we talk about, well, you know, so somebody was talking to me this weekend. They said, well, Karg Island's not like we're putting boots on the ground. Well, yes, it is. Yes, it is. Because that's Iran, right? I understand the strategery of it. The person, well, the strategic, I get it. I get it. We can talk about the strategic nature of it. But that's putting boots on the ground. And so you take Karg, and so what happens then? That island's, what, 20 miles offshore? And they're getting incoming. We're onto Karg Island. Well, let's say we have forces have taken that. And they're getting incoming from the mainland shore from Iran. Well, then we got to move logically, right? Militarily. I mean, if this was happening, if I was on the ground, of course, we would move a force to secure that area of the coast to shut down what we're getting incoming from there. Well, then you got them on a strip of land on the coast, and they're kind of boxed in back to the, thank God they got the Navy behind them, but they got their backs to the water, right? So would somebody start calling it this weekend the Arabian Gulf, not the Persian Gulf? So they've got, then you're going to move in advanced forces to secure, I mean, you're going to do the normal military things you should do, and then there we are. I pray not. All right, coming back. Another hour, Midday Mobile, 251-343-0106.